Mini episode 638 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? Welcome to the FDH Lounge. You have the Enzo and Cass of football talk coming at you. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross in the FDH Lounge to break down NFL Week 10. Last week, I went 6-7. I was 1-2 on my big three, 0-1 on my lock pick. For the year, 70-59-3 overall, above, well above still the magical 52.4% level for profitability, 14-13 on my big three, 4-5 on my locks. Last week's 3-2, another profitable week, brings Kyle to 28-20-1 for the season. We welcome to the show, of course, my cohort, Kyle Ross. Between Enzo and Cass, I'm not sure which one you are, my man.
Well, you can be Enzo. I'm not Cass. I'm Ash, as far as I'm concerned. I'm real fired up to start the show. Let me just get this out of the way. You are going to get several wild exclamation-filled messages in your Facebook inbox. I don't like the iPhone, particularly mine. I think it sucks. I think anyone who's listening to this who likes Apple products can kiss my you-know-what. And I'm ready for a fine week of NFL action.
Between your mood and mine, this is going to be one to remember because, as you well know, last evening I went down to our beloved alma mater.
Yes.
Nothing like going out on a work night to go down 4 hours south to watch a football game and get back in the middle of the night. So after a long work day, here I am with you now in a very slap-happy mood.
Okay, well, that's good. You know, hopefully you can bring me up. I'll say, and I apologize. I was, oh, my God, you won't believe these messages you'll see, Ricky. Oh, was I fired up. 30 minutes, this phone wouldn't charge. I went for my run, okay? It died on the run. I'm like, oh, that's okay. It's 4:30. It'll charge. Charged up 5 minutes. Wouldn't charge.
Oh,
Maybe the Steve Jobs movie can answer that, why my phone won't charge. But anyway, I'll say this. I haven't done that late-night drive to Athens after an event, and then I've never, you know, gone somewhere and gone back, certainly in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I've never done that, but the only time I've driven in the middle of the night after an event was actually No Mercy 99, of all things. I remember catching that here in Cleveland and driving back through the middle of the night way back there. So, big win. And a big win for the Bobcats, 27-0 over Kent Reed, Kent Wright, Kent State University.
Kent tackle either from the looks of it last night. And my cohort, fellow FDH Lounge original dignitary Christopher Galloway, is very happy because he is rooting for them to make the Bahama Bowl so that he has an excuse to go watch them there. So there we go.
Wow, God bless him if you can pull that off.
Yes, Chris is.
I think I'm the only one who watched the Bahama Bowl last year. That was a wild ending. Wasn't that Western Kentucky game where there was like 18 laterals at the end of the game or something like that?
I think so. I've seen one of the projections that puts us in the Lockheed Martin Military Industrial Complex Bowl, which I think is the one Dwight Eisenhower warned us about back in the day.
Yes.
On that note, I will tell everybody.
The military industrial complex, one of the few things that you and I agree on politically, by the way.
Yes, one of the few. And Rand Paul would like to do something about that. Thank you very much.
So would Bernie Sanders, by the way.
I have no point of segue for mentioning that the teams that are off this week are Atlanta, Indianapolis, San Diego, and San Francisco. So I won't even try. We go to the Thursday night game, and because, again, and I will say first and foremost, I'm not resentful about this. I will say happy Veterans Day to all the veterans. We're taping this on Veterans Day. That, of course, means I don't have USA Today Sports Weekly because it is a male holiday as well. So we forge on without that. But I can tell everybody off the top of my head that Nance Sims and Wolfson will be on the call Thursday night. It's the New York Jets hosting the Buffalo Bills. Jets are laying 3 points down from 2.5 initially. I'm going to preface by saying this was a very, very brutal week for me to try to make picks. I'm not going to have much of a justification on a lot of these ones, and I don't have much of one here. I will just look at the fact that I think, again, as uneven as these two offenses can be, the fact that the Jets have a more reliable shutdown run defense, not by much, but by a little bit, I think will serve them well. I think it's going to be a tough spot for Buffalo to come in and look to get a win on the road. I'll roll with the Jets laying three.
Ricky, I kind of missed the open, so I don't know what you said. To be honest with you, I only now, as I look at my phone as it beeped, I got your text message, so now I do know what your big three is. Thank you very much. This is a big week for me, as you know. I am giving out 9 plays this week. Ooh. So I will be giving out more plays than I won't. That's very rare. I don't think that's ever happened on the show. And we're going to start Thursday night. Betting here has been kind of even from the public. Looks kind of, I guess, the smart money maybe took the Bills across the key number of 3 from 3.5 at the open to 2.5 now. That's pretty significant. And I guess I can see why most bettors view this as an even matchup. I think the talking heads are going to have this kind of label this as an even matchup. But my power rankings indicate the Jets should be favored by closer to a touchdown than a field goal here. And ooh, I'm going to roll with that. I don't think these teams are that even. I think the Jets are a better team all around. I know they were kind of lucky with the turnovers to beat Jacksonville last week. They were actually outgained severely. That's one concern I have with the guys in green. The other being injuries, including the kicker. Nick Folk, I believe, is injured. So that's a concern. But you mentioned the run defense, and that's key. Buffalo ran wild on your boy, Dan Campbell, last week. That's not going to happen here with the Jets' run defense. Obviously, home teams, you know, in the little history that we have with these Thursday games, have tended to perform better. I'm going with the Jets, who I feel are the better team. I will lay the 2.5. Thank you very much.
All right. We're in agreement on that.
They've also only covered one of the last 5 games with Buffalo. So they're due.
They are. They are. And there's a little bit of their due that I'm using for a couple of picks this week. Not necessarily the next one. You've got the Packers, who are hosting Detroit. They are laying 11.5 points, up from 11 at the open. And again, because of what the spreads were, there's a lot of games where I just really, really went back and forth this week. I, of course, last week successfully denounced all of those who just blithely assumed that Green Bay would bounce back against Carolina. And they didn't. And it's so easy to look at a game like this where I have Detroit 32nd in my power rankings presently. It's so easy to just carry that assumption over.
Have them 31st over here.
Okay, yeah. And one of the things I'm looking at is, as mediocre to poor as Green Bay's defense has been at many points during the season here, there's every reason to believe that as bad as the Lions have been, that they can hang and at least lose like a 31-21 game. I certainly don't think they're going to go to Green Bay and win. I give them no chance of that. But getting under the 11.5, believe it or not, the Green Bay defense might be more of a get-well tonic for Matt Stafford and company than the Detroit defense might be for Aaron Rodgers. I'll take Green Bay to win, but not cover.
Ricky, I love your not recommended plays. I just really
okay.
Do. I just always love. You get that? I just always love. I really love 2015 Rick Morris non-recommended plays because nevertheless, I feel you're slowly creeping over onto my side, but you're a little trepidatious. I'm with you on principle. If you weren't going to point it out, which I figured you would, you know, pat yourself on the back there. I was going to mention that you were right, and I was wrong with the public last week, thinking Green Bay was going to bounce back off the loss to Denver. They did not, as you pointed out. They're doubling down on the Packers this week, they being the public. Over 80% of all wagers on this game on Detroit. You know me. I like double-digit dogs. Now, they were 0-2 last week, so I would expect a little buyback this week. Lions off a bye, we should point out. As far as against the spread goes, you know, they're as bad as it gets this year. They've only covered one game, and it was kind of a lucky one. A Monday nighter against Seattle. I think they sneak under the number here. You're right. They're absolutely not going to win. It's Green Bay at home, and that's a little scary because the Packers are much better at home than they are on the road. But the Lions keep this one relatively close and under the number. The back door will be open most likely at the end of the game as well. So second recommendation of the week, Lions.
Very interesting. And for as much as you are claiming some sort of influence on me here, this next one feels like it's at least a subliminal influence on my way of thinking here. When I explain the thought process to you, we'll see. This next one, it's hard to say, although there is one factor on the next game that you have talked about previously, and it has a pretty good record in that spot of coming up a winner. It is, of course, Dallas at Tampa Bay, this being a spot where, again, the favorite changed from when the betting window opened to the present. Started out here with Tampa Bay getting a point, at present laying a point, so a two-point spread there. And, again, that's an interesting thing whenever you you look at that and you see where the public money appears to be. But in terms of – okay,
be careful on this one because I'm going to tell you where the public money – this is an interesting one. This is different than some previous change of favorite roles we've seen, and maybe this has an influence on your pick. That's why it was rude, but I jumped in nonetheless.
Go ahead because I'm making the pick I'm making, but what are you going to tell me about why it moved?
It's all smart money on Tampa Bay. People are on the Cowboys, which is predictable. You got right now, I'm looking, the latest percentages, 72% of people are betting Dallas in this game, which, again, that they're Dallas. They're a public team. Tampa Bay is not a public team. So that shouldn't be a huge surprise. It is interesting, though, the way the line has moved, kind of in Tampa's favor. But that's smart money. That ain't, Tom, Dick, and Harry with $50 wagers.
Well, I'm brave enough to jump in with the mouth breathers then because I'm on Dallas here, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. This is actually some of your reasoning, I think. When you look at – and again, Dallas has been in a downward spiral. But when you look at teams that keep pissing away close games, at some point, doesn't it progress back to the mean? This looks like it's going to be another close one. Is Dallas going to dump another close game? It just feels like they're due to have one of these 16-13 ass fests go their way. Give me Dallas.
See, it's so funny how you and I have used progression and regression the way we want to justify our own opinions because I've got some progression, regression stuff to justify the other side. No one's been worse in close games the last 2 years than Tampa Bay. I mean,
that's
going
true.
Back to last year's disaster. And I'm on the Bucks. A little that has to do with that, I'm obviously hoping for him to finish over 6 wins. I got a wager on that for the season. But I just think the Cowboys, it's going to be tough for them to get off the mat here. They have been more competitive. I mean, they haven't just totally been dominated since Romo went down, but they haven't won. I mean, you look at a team that we'll talk about later, Pittsburgh, they've managed to win without Roethlisberger. Dallas, 2 losses in overtime where they failed to cover as underdogs. That's pretty brutal. One of them last week against Philly. I just think they struggle. And here's another thing, too. You talk about progression, regression. Tampa's only won 1 home game since the start of last year. Remember Dallas was 8-0 on the road last year?
Right.
That's where I think it comes in. I'm on the Bucks here. I think the Bucks, who, again, outgained the Giants last week and lost. I think that's 3 times in 4 weeks they've outgained their opponent and lost. I think they're the team due to bounce back. I think Matt Castle stinks, and the team's going to have to wait for Romo to come back to get a win. Their season's done. Tampa Bay not going to the playoffs either, but they'll pick up a win here.
I agree with a lot of the X's and O's things here, particularly with Matt Castle sucking, but very interesting. So we diverge on that one.
That's X's and O's. That qualifies as X's and O's now. Matt Castle
sucking. Kyle Ross curve.
Okay.
You don't really like to do X's and O's.
Okay, somebody signed me up for Edge NFL matchup then. I can just say people suck and I'll be a genius.
Yes. Very reminiscent of Ali Sherman back in the day. Hashtag not so much.
Wow, there's a good reference. There's a good reference.
Yes. I think the show's gone to hell in a handbasket since you left, to be honest with you. But up next, it is the Tennessee Titans. They are going to be getting 5.5 points down from 6 initially from the visiting Carolina Panthers. And again, because of the spread, another one that was kind of tough.
Come on, Ricky.
Do it. I'm looking at this going, you get the artificial rush, the sugar high of firing your coach. And, Tennessee goes in and flukes out one last week. I think it's reality time this week. I think they bounce back to reality. When I'm looking at the offensive and defensive statistics for both teams there's nothing that gives me much of a sense that this is even going to be a close game. I will take the Panthers, laying the 5.5 on the road.
Oh, no, you had me at the start, then you lost me. Rick Morris, 4 games, 4 recommendations. Don't know if we ever started a program out this way. Must be the iPhone. I'm going with the Titans here, obviously. The Titans are – this is a classic, classic contrarian play, which, as you know, I kind of love. I mean, I would actually be a little hurt if, when you looked at this game, you didn't think to yourself, eh, you know, I bet that son of a bitch Kyle's on Tennessee here.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. And I'll tell you why. Carolina now, people are starting to talk about them and buy in. And it shows with the fact that 80% of all bets on them are on, 80% of all bets on this game are on them. If I can take the toilet paper out of my mouth there for a second. You know, they're off the big win against the Packers. Oh, undefeated. Oh, you know, the Panthers are for real now. Oh, Cam Newton MVP, which I think is a ridiculous conversation personally. I think he's carrying a flawed team, but he's not an MVP candidate. Sorry. Sorry, folks. I watched a great deal of Tennessee last week because I was on them, and they beat the Saints outright. Much of that had to do with the Saints defense. More on that later in the show. I just think that with Mariota, they're a better team. They're a competitive team, and they're another team who just doesn't have many home wins. I think this is a classic letdown for Carolina. Rick Morris, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be shocked if Tennessee won the game.
I would be. And, again, I feel like Tennessee is going to be more prone to the letdown. They got their artificial sugar rush fluke win over New Orleans. I just don't see two in a row.
I will agree. There is something to that. I'll say this, though. Smart money, although, you know, it's funny. It went down all the way to 4.5, believe it or not, this line. And then the John Q has bet it back up to 5.5. But initially, this line went down. This line went down, which showed me that, you know, the people who like me, the so-called, you know, smart money people who like to bet some, make some contrarian bets, they were on Tennessee here. So I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good when I saw that.
Well, we got kind of a funny one for the next game here because of a stat that I came up with. It is the Chicago Bears at the St. Louis Rams. The Rams are laying 7 points, down from 9 initially. A stat that I came across, I like to kind of match up, see how strengths and weaknesses correlate to one another. This would be the resistible force versus the movable object. You look at the St. Louis Rams' third down conversion percentage, 23.8. How are the Bears defensively on holding the line on third downs? 46.2%. So try to make some sense out of that. Me, I'll go with the team that is, again, better in the trenches with the better run game. Look, not to be Joe Nihilist on you, but what does it matter anyways? The Rams screw me no matter what they do. So I can't even defer to a coin toss because if I have an instinct and yet I defer to the coin toss, my instinct would have kicked in, but I didn't use it. My instinct, which I will go with in this game, is that St. Louis at the moment is a better, well-rounded team. Not by much. Jeff Fisher's still the coach, let's not forget. But I'll take the Rams covering the 7.
This is my first scratch of the week. The Rams, you know, we say it week in, week out. You just did. Schizophrenic, hard to get a handle on. Don't really like to lay this many points with them, although my power rankings indicate that they should be favored by more than a touchdown. Public's on the Bears here, which is interesting. But I guess not surprising when you consider that, you know, they won on Monday night, so people saw that. And then the Rams let people down against the Vikings last week. So I wouldn't be surprised if this fell right on 7 if the Rams win by a touchdown. I'm for this one. A teaser maybe would be okay on the Rams, but, you know, that could get dicey too. This is my first pass of the week. First of only a couple.
That could.
Passes.
Okay. Next up, we got a game that opened as a pick'em. It is New Orleans at Washington. The Saints are laying 1 point, again, a pick when this one opened. And went back and forth on this. This is a borderline recommendation for me. It didn't make the big – I really struggled for what were going to be my big three this week. But one of the things that I had talked up in recent weeks here was this Redskins defense being a little bit better than anticipated. That has kind of gone by the boards recently, just as the Saints offense has kind of heated up. So if you're looking at that side of the ball, last month or so, it is sort of ships passing in the night. I will take the Saints laying one. And again, maybe you'll tell me why, but I'm puzzled as to why they're only laying one. You know, OMG, I know it's a road game, but again, I think they should be laying more than one.
Oh, I completely disagree. I absolutely love Washington in this spot. This is a recommendation for me. Going back to that Tennessee-New Orleans game, which I watched, I said more on that later. The more on that later is the New Orleans Saints defense is absolutely atrocious.
They are so bad.
I think even Kirk Cousins, your boy, can have a big game against this group. And I know you love it anytime I rip Rob Ryan, but his defense is pathetic. I mean, they are awful. This is the worst defense in the league, and it is outdoors. They struggle. I went against them last week. I said, you know, during our NFC preview show, by the way, if I could have a Lincoln Chafee on that whole thing, you know, I was going through some tough times when we were recording that show. I think you're being a little unfair to me, Ricky. We marveled kind of how easy the Saints schedule looked, but I still said, look, they ain't going to make the playoffs. They're going to drop a few that maybe you don't think they will. And this is another one they drop. 84% of people on the Saints, you know me, 80% is a huge barometer for me. If more than 80% of people are going one way, count me with the minority. I'm taking the Redskins, fifth recommendation of the week. I think they get well. I think they, you know, they lost to New England last week, for crying out loud. Their A game's not going to beat the Patriots, but they didn't even bring their A game. I mean, they forgot to do things like catch the ball and tackle, which makes it pretty hard to win when you're playing the best team in the league. I think they get well, though, here at home in the nation's capital.
While I disagree with the notion that Kirk Cousins is going to be allowed dual Drew Brees here, I do welcome you saying that you picked the Redskins to win the game here. Props to you for saying that out loud, Kyle Ross.
I would like to apologize to America. I would like to apologize to America right now. I'm sorry.
Up next, it's a very heated battle up and down the Mid-Atlantic coast here. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are laying 5.5, down from 6.5 initially. First thought is, really? Somebody thinks the Ravens are 6.5 points better than anybody? That's where it opened. But in looking at this here, I'm looking at a real vulnerability with the Ravens, with the pass defense, and the way that Allen Robinson has been coming along this season. This is a game where, again, you wouldn't have thought beginning of the year you'd be more comfortable coming into a game with Blake Bortles and with Joe Flacco. And in a vacuum, that sounds insane. But Joe Flacco with what he has to work with presently versus Blake Bortles with what he has to work with presently, give me the Jags. They get under the 5.5. They could win outright.
Wow. Wow, I think this number is astronomically low. I can't believe it. Baltimore's coming off a bye, too. You know, I know you can't defend your Chargers this week because they're not playing. but you know, the Ravens have just been an unlucky team. I don't think they're obviously not going to make a playoff. They dug themselves too big a hole. There are injuries on both sides of the ball that are notable. I still think, though, at home with an extra week to prepare, they can TCB against Jacksonville. That stands for take care of business. I will not lay the points, however. We are going to come back to this game, Rick Morris, later in the program. I do think Baltimore will win this game. This is going to be sort of an exotic bet as I aim to frustrate you and not play by your rules.
Okay.
So we will come back to my opinion on this game later on.
We'll come back to it. We don't have much later to go, so let's get on to the next one right now. It's an AFC West battle. It is Denver at Kansas City. I'm sorry, Kansas City at Denver. Right? I'm this tired. I am juxtaposing things like a mofo. It is a 5.5-point spread that the Chiefs are getting down from 7 initially. And a very tight game the first time around. And I have a sense that it could be the same way the second time around as well. I look for a relatively low-scoring to moderate-scoring defensive battle. I think Kansas City can get under it. I'll take the Chiefs getting the 5.5.
I like the Chiefs, too. It's a recommendation for me. I like the Chiefs. The smart money's on them. They're due after giving that one away in week two to Denver at home. They're off a bye. I still believe in the Chiefs. I think this is I know the Broncos left you stunned last week in Indianapolis. I think this is a bit of a carryover effect here. The Chiefs have the kind of defense to give Peyton Manning trouble.
Okay. Up next, it is a battle between teams that dueled in two Super Bowls in the last decade here. It is the New England Patriots at the New York Giants. New England is laying 7.5 on the road, up from 7 initially. A double revenge spot with Eli Manning having taken those two Super Bowls from Brady and company. And, I kept looking for some kind of similar to those Super Bowls when you kept looking for a rationale for the Giants and you couldn't quite find it on paper. Well, I guess this is about the third time I'm about to make a similar mistake because I'm just not finding it at this point. I just don't believe that the Giants, especially with their defense, are going to be able to hang close enough. I'll take New England laying the 7.5 on the road.
Wow, we're disagreeing a lot this week. This is a recommendation for me. By the way, if I didn't make it clear, the Chiefs are a recommendation as well. I'm holding wires here, Ricky.
Yes.
I'm doing everything I can to stick with you here for the rest of the show. The Giants are a recommendation. At first, I was a little scared that the public would buy into the whole, oh, the Giants have done it before to the Patriots. Maybe they'll do it again. That hasn't stopped the public from betting New England in this one. Giants aren't getting enough respect there at home. I am a little concerned that this is their 10th game in 10 weeks, but I do think they'll stay under the number at home. The Giants, remember, have held a lead in every game this year.
Very interesting. All right, we go to the Sunday night game. It is Arizona at Seattle. Seattle is they're laying the standard 3 points at home. Way to show some guts there, odds makers. Make it the cliche 3 points.
They had
been 2.5 points initially.
It actually had been 3.5, not 2.5.
Oh, 3.5. Okay. All right.
Yeah, 3.5. Smart money came in on Arizona. Your boys early.
Well, in looking at this game here, again, macro level, you know me. I was the one person in the universe to pick the Cardinals to win the division before
season.
Having said that, I didn't expect Seattle to slip on as many banana peels as they have to this point. This is a moment of truth for the Seahawks. Do I still think they're going to make the playoffs even if they dump this one? I do. But this is stand up and be counted time. It's November all of a sudden. And on a macro level, if I believe that Seattle is going to be anything more than a whimpering mouse the rest of the way, I have to take them here. I have to believe that they can get it done. So I will. Seattle in a statement game covering the 3.
I'll be honest with you. My power rankings, Ricky, say Arizona should actually be favored by 1 in this game.
Wow. Okay.
That shocked me. And, you know, Seattle historically has been unbelievable when laying less than a touchdown under Pete Carroll. We'll come back to this game. Like, we'll come back to the Baltimore game. I'm working on something here. We'll come back to this one.
Ooh. All right. This should be a very interesting science project. All right. We move to Monday night, and it is the Cincinnati Bengals in a very, very interesting spot here. You've got them hosting the Houston Texans, and the line is 10.5 points, down from 13 initially that your undefeated Cincinnati Bengals had been laying Houston. And again, it's simply because of where the number was, one of so many games this week that were so brutal for me to pick. But I look at this, and I think there may be some opportunities here for Houston to be able to keep this one close. And ultimately, and it's hard to spot them when you look at how brutal this offense can be, but I think we still haven't seen the best yet from this defense. I think the defense will show up a little bit better than anticipated Monday night. I think it'll be one of the better starts of the year for the front seven, sort of against all odds. Cincinnati to win, but I think Houston does the old penis-punching thing, maybe with a late touchdown or field goal and gets underneath the 10.5.
The only thing worse than Houston's quarterback play this year has been this godforsaken foam that I'm dealing with on this program here right now. I'm trying here, Ricky. I am trying, buddy. Like hell.
All right.
I'm also on Houston. It's my 8th recommendation of the week. Double-digit dog again, sheer principle. Cincinnati, believe it or not, has covered every game this year. It depends on that result against Seattle. That was a push for some, but they've covered every other game. Aren't they due to maybe kind of give one away? You know, Houston's had a lot of time to prepare for this. They're off their bye, back door open, Monday night. Underdogs are on a roll on Monday night. Yeah, give me the points here. Hold your nose, Houston.
Okay, all right.
You know what I just realized? Like, the couple games that I'm not recommending this week are in your big 3. That's funny. I just recommended every game so far. And, you know, the other ones, I'm doing something kind of goofy, but 2 of them I don't like.
Okay. All right. Well, in terms of my big three and for the season, it is 14 and 13. We start first with, and this is a rare dog that I am taking here, much less the old Jesse James Road Dog Special. You've got the Miami Dolphins, my fish, getting 6.5 at Philadelphia, had been 5.5 initially. And, again, two teams that have been very uneven at best this year. And, again, a little bit of the sugar rush after the firing of Joe Philbin has kind of worn off. But when I look at the toughness, when I look at the grit of these new Dolphins, I look at it and, listen, as strange as it sounds to say this out loud, I would not have believed this at the beginning of the season. The Philadelphia offense has not been appreciably better than the Miami offense. Having said that, I think the Dolphins can definitely hang. They're a live dog here. They have a chance to win. No chance really to go on at the end of the year to become tag team champions of the world. I do like the road dog in this spot. Give me the fish in the 6.5.
Wow. I mean, to be honest with you, they're off a couple, you know, again, I was the one who said that this Dan Campbell, this magic would wear off. And by magic, I mean he got to play Houston and Tennessee at home right after his bye. they have been pounded the last 2 weeks. And usually when you get, you know, you're off back-to-back bad losses, there's some value here. But my power rankings suggest this line should be even higher. I'm staying off this one. I think Philadelphia is a much better team than Miami.
Okay. Well, we differ about that, but that will be interesting to see how it plays. Next up, I'll tell you what, again, a game that would have been my lock pick for the week were it not for the fact that one of these two teams hates science like a mofo. It is something that has long since not been a rivalry here, much like it was from like the 30s to the 70s when the Browns routinely treated the Squealers like a rag doll. It's been the other way around for several decades now. Pittsburgh is hosting the Browns. They're laying 4.5. It's been pretty consistent throughout the week here. Even though, again, Landry Jones, you know, look, you and I are roughly equivalent to his replacement value vis-a-vis Ben Roethlisberger. But and the Browns have, I remember at least one occasion in recent years here when Roethlisberger wasn't playing, when the Browns were able to squeak one out and get that fluky, tainted win. I'm looking at it here, and I just don't see anything that lets me think that the Browns can hang. Even with Le'Veon Bell not in there, D'Angelo Williams, as we've seen, is an above-average level replacement player. Browns with the worst run defense in the league. This defense, again, so ponderingly underachieving. Teams of scientists in Prague could spend decades contemplating the underachieving nature of this defense. Jim O'Neill should have been S-canned already, and maybe he will be after this one. I'll take the Steelers laying the 4.5 to roll over my Browns, and it pains me to my soul to say that.
Steelers got backdoored somewhat last week. I thought they had that game in hand before giving up the two late touchdowns to Derek Carr. Wound up winning anyway on a field goal. They could have gone in if there was more time. This is where I get exotic on you, Ricky. Remember I said, let's get back to Baltimore, let's get back to Seattle?
Yep.
I don't want to lay the points here with Pittsburgh. And I know Landry Jones laid an egg in his only start. Remember, he's looked good twice in relief now, but they did lose his only start. But that was against a good defense of Kansas City. This defense of Cleveland, as you brought up, stinks. I think it's gone from underachieving to just bad. I mean, I know they were without some key pieces, but it was humiliating against Cincinnati. I mean, the Bengals were gaining like 8 yards of play, it seemed. So this is what I'm going to do, Ricky. Are you ready for it? Buckle up. We're doing a three-team, six-point teaser here.
Okay.
Baltimore is now +0.5 points.
Okay.
So we only need them to tie Jacksonville. Seattle is now +3, Arizona.
Okay.
Pittsburgh is now +1.5. Three-team teaser, 6 points. It's counting for the record this week, folks.
Okay. Putting it on the record there. And, again, I alluded to this before, of the two teams that hate science, my Browns are key among them here. The reason I didn't make this my lock pick is that it would be the most Browns thing ever if they got a late touchdown to lose this one by 4 points. It's what they
do.
That's
the tease.
Yeah, well, you're not going to have to deal with that in your scenario. I'll have to deal with that with them being one of my big three picks, but again, not my lock. It may be surprising to some to hear what my lock play is going to be for this week, but again,
that's
how much.
Stunned.
Yeah, well, you know, we live to befuddle people, but it's a rematch of Super Bowl XI. I would be remiss if I didn't point that out. It is the Oakland Raiders at home laying the cliche 3 points against the Minnesota Vikings. And looking at this and breaking it down again, Minnesota, may I point out at the outset here, has been doing exactly what I said they would do. I said beginning of the year, either a playoff
beat
or borderline
team.
Playoff team.
They've been a lot of bad teams.
You know, you can only beat the teams that are on your schedule, Kyle Ross. They're 6-2.
Let's see how many they beat the rest of the way, because the teams are a lot harder on the rest of their schedule.
I don't think they'll go 6-2 the rest of the way. I'm not going to go out on that limb, but in terms of, again, you know, feels like it's due to break the other way. I'm not going to concede anything on, oh, well, Oakland is 50 times the Pee Wee teams they've beaten so far. I'm not going to get that ridiculous. But, to go out to the West Coast against what has been surprisingly a very quality team, it just feels like, again, I'm somebody that looks at the biorhythms here. You got to surf the waves on how it goes here. And you know what? It's time to jump off the Minnesota wave, at least for 1 week. It feels like it's due to crash into the Oakland surf. As I mix my metaphors like a mofo, I'll take Oakland, my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL week 10. I'm 4-5 for the year. I'm getting back to 500 with this one, everybody. Oakland is going to cover the 3 points.
I'm going to surprise you. I'm passing here as much as I've wanted to go against the Vikings here. The lines makers started giving me a good chance. I think that this spread is maybe a little too high. The advanced stats crew agrees with you. I know in DVOA, Oakland is like top 10. Minnesota's like bottom 8. So that regard, bottom 8. You heard me there. They've beaten a lot of bad teams close. But
they find a way.
Stop it. My power rankings indicate that this game should be like a pick 'em. So I don't want to lay points at the Raiders, truth be told, who have been overachieving a little bit themselves. I fully anticipated going on the Raiders this week until I saw them open up as 3. And by the way, you should look to see how many games end up decided by a field goal on a weekly basis. Then you can maybe gain appreciation for the 3-point line a little bit more.
Okay. Well, you know, and again, this is one where, particularly with Minnesota having the revenge mode of having dumped Super Bowl XI back in 1977, I'm going to go against that in looking at this here. Again, this is a game where it just sort of feels like Minnesota's sort of due to crest for at least 1 week here. I think you'd have to admit, if they can come in and get this one done, I think you'd have to admit that Minnesota is faux reals, yo. But I would look forward to that next week, although I would not look forward to being wrong.
I think they might lose their next 4 games after this. They're going to be an underdog in all of them.
Well, this is, I think we couldn't have anticipated this at the beginning of the season, that this game would be one that at the end of the season could have a bearing on whether the winner and the loser make the playoffs. You would not have believed that at the beginning of the season.
I'm looking forward to this game.
One of those games.
I'm looking forward to this game. And by the way, I don't know how much time we've got left because I'm busy staring at an outlet here and trying to rig my phone.
Okay.
Give me a pick for Survivor Series. We got to pick that.
Okay. Well, we have one more show to go before then, but at the moment, I think I'm looking at the cliche of I think they'll probably try and have Ambrose go to the authority. I'll say Ambrose with the deadly games finish here against Roman Reigns joins the authority.
And I'll lay the 3 points with the home favorite, Roman Reigns. Thank you very much.
I love the way they're calling the internet.
I knew we had a week, but I had to walk you into that one. I knew we had an extra week, but I had to walk you into that one.
I love the way they're taunting the internet with the second round matchup of Cesaro versus Roman Reigns. Going to have Roman Reigns go over the most deserving guy in the second round.
Boy.
By the way,
you're so self-important.
I have to tell you too. I'll close with this because it'll bring a smile to your face. We've already seen, as the cliche goes, the 12-5 upset of Kalisto over Ryback.
Oh boy.
you got nowhere to go with that one, right?
Yeah, and guess what? The 12 is going to lose. Wow, how wild. Yeah, and guess what? The 12 is going to lose by about 30 next week, okay? Wow.
Yeah, what a... to the Kentucky Wildcats, Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
But to recap your picks for this week, the Jets, Tampa Bay, you've got the three-team teaser of Seattle, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. You've also got Detroit, Tennessee, Washington, Kansas City, New York Giants, and Houston. My big three for the week are Miami, Pittsburgh, and the lock pick of Oakland. Thank you for persevering through your technical difficulties, Kyle. I'll look forward to seeing what these desperate, frantic Facebook messages consisted of. Thank you for
bearing with me. I'm going to call you in a minute.
All right. Thanks, buddy. And thank you, everybody, for listening to this very wild NFL Week 10 version of the FBH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.